It's Tuesday, November 5th, 1992, and Cora Clymer and I are visiting at the library, and we're here to learn a little more about the history of Kodiak.
Late 1937 or so, we decided to move and go to California. Well, we got down the road a ways and everybody told us, no, don't go to California. Everybody else is out there, go to Texas. So that's where we ended up, Houston, Texas. And we had to find work. I was a young girl, I was 14 or 15 years old, still had to go to work. I never got to finish school. But if you want to eat, you have to work. So I learned that at an early age. So I worked in a twine mill. I worked in a, which is horrible, I'd never do that again. I worked in a restaurant. I even sold booze when I was only 16 years old. And then when I was, 19, I met my nice boyfriend who I later married a year later. And we liked Houston, which I'd gotten used to. Houston, Texas is a very large city, much bigger than Oklahoma, it's anything that I was ever used to. Guthrie was just a small town. Anyway, we weren't making any money down there. That was during the war, and you could buy a hamburger for a nickel, a Coke for a nickel, a package of cigarettes was 11 cents. Now this was a long time ago, can you imagine? And there was an article in the paper about Alaska. Well, we always talk about Alaska, and the only town I ever heard of was Nome. I didn't know there was any other cities in Alaska. And they wanted to hire people to come to work to build a base in Kodiak, Alaska. Who ever heard of Kodiak, Alaska? So my husband and his brother decided to come to Seattle, and they hired on. Sims Drake was a big construction company, and he came to Kodiak. That was our beginnings in Kodiak, Alaska. And I didn't come up till 14 months later because it was during the war. And he had to save his money to get me up here. Of course, we had to pay off our bills that we owed to Texas. So he finally called, and when he got through working at the base and he moved to town, did I want to come to Alaska? Well, gee, that was a dream, you know. Everybody dreams about coming to Alaska. At least I did, because my husband was up here. So I came up. Took 4 or 5 days to get to Seattle on the train. And then I waited 6 weeks in Seattle because fishermen and surface people had priority on travel. So I had to work 6 weeks. I went to work. I got tired. I had the money. I kept tired sitting around, so Wonder Bakery needed somebody to work, so I went to work for Wonder Bakery. And I worked for them for, oh, I don't know, a month, I guess. And then suddenly one day, I found out that there was a boat leaving for Kodiak. So I rushed down there, and they wanted to know how long I'd been waiting. So I told them, oh, you shouldn't have to wait that long. Well, I did. Anyway, I got on the SS Lackinac, which was sailing to Kodiak. And it took us 11 or 12 days to get here. And we traveled in, there's about 6 ships that had to travel together. What do you call that? I can't think of it right now. But anyway, 11 or 12 days later, we got here. And it was during the war, and you had to travel with the lights, you know, very, very tight security. We got to Kodiak, and we landed down what now is the ferry dock. And it wasn't the ferry dock then, it used to be W.J. Erskine Company dock. And that's where that was my first getting off in Kodiak, Alaska, right there.
What year was that?
It was May the 20th, 1943.
What was Kodiak like then?
Well, Kodiak was a nice little place. There was lots of people here because the war was still on, and there was thousands of service people here, Army, Navy, Marines, and CBs. So there were billions and billions of people here. And the families that lived here were just wonderful families. In fact, I still have lots of friends that I first met when I first came here. And it was just a nice little town. I loved it. But then, of course, I was homesick. You know, I'd never been away from home. I needed to go home. So I had to go home for about 6 months, but I came back and was satisfied. And this thing went on from there.
No, Kodiak was not a state when you first got here.
No, we were a territory. And I don't recall, I was trying to think yesterday, I should know lots of history about Alaska, but it escapes me now when we become a state. I can't quite remember. Mm-hmm. But we were a territory governed by the state of, by Alaska. And we had like, Juneau was the seat of government for Alaska. So anything that had to be done, not through Anchorage like it is now, everything had to go to Anchorage, to Juneau. And then when we become a state, then we were allowed all the privileges that the states are allowed, such as voting, which I had never voted in my whole life. And by that time, I just turned 21 when I got to Kodiak. So I was past 21, which I don't know how many years, because I forgot when that was. And I got to vote for President Kennedy, which I thought was really remarkable, you know. He was a fine man, I always thought.
What was happening? What did the downtown area look like at that time when you got here?
When I came here, there was no cement sidewalks. Everything was dirt, or the sidewalks were boardwalks, and it rained a lot, so it was pretty muddy. And you had to have boots and rain gear, which is just about like you have to have now. But we didn't have the road system that we have now. But it was a very comfortable little place. I always enjoyed it. Funny to do. We didn't have TV until maybe it was 55 or later, I can't remember. But we had radio. And then the first TV come in was the base had TV, so the town got it through the base. That went on until we got cable and so forth. So we did have a little TV, which was pretty nice. Incidentally, I was the first one that had a TV in Kodiak.
Is that right?
First night we turned it on is when they plugged it in and we were to have TV. Well, I had 17 people in my house. We had a little bitty house, so we were just crammed all over the place. And all they had on the screen was the time. That's all that come on, but to us, that was very thrilling.
You were here during the tsunami.
Sure was.
What was that like?
Very frightening. Very, very frightening. It happened at, I believe, 5:30 in the evening, something like that, on Good Friday, before Easter. And I was checking. I was working at City Market, in the location that we're in now, which is a much smaller operation. And we used to have a lot of motors underneath the building, which like we have on top of the buildings now, but then they were underneath. And I felt a rumbling under my feet. And I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if the motors are exploding. And then somebody hollered, earthquake. Well, I had been in a few tremors before. Texas and Oklahoma had hurricanes and tornadoes and all that, but I had never been in an earthquake. And then the trembling and the shaking started. So then we all just ran to the door, you know, underneath the, where the door is, and stood there until the roof was over. And one thing, I had just gotten a new car, my first new car. It was parked across the street where the police station is now. And here was our door, and it was parked out there. A great old big truck was sitting in front of our door, the City Market store. And this truck was just buckling back and forth. And I had, it's going to go back and hit my car. So that was running through my mind, you know. You know, it was dreadful. for a while, we thought, oh, gee, this is really a bad one. So then after it quieted down, well, everybody was running out, you know, just grabbing a few groceries and running out to go home to see what everything was. And I called my husband, who still was online for telephone, and I said, what are we supposed to do now? And he said, we have to get out of here, water's coming. And I thought, water's coming, what does he mean by that?
Yeah.
So then a few minutes, he come up and got me and my boss and another girl that was there. And that time, the town was being evacuated. Somebody was running around evacuating the town, saying that water was coming to town, which it did. We had 6 or 7 humongous waves that hit the town and tore it up. And we spent the night up on the hill by the graveyard.
Is that right?
We couldn't even, they wouldn't let us stay home because we were below the 100-foot level. And it's just down below where you live down now. This, below the 100-foot area. So we set up way up on the top of the hill until, I don't know, 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning before we were allowed to go back home. Those that were, of us that were fortunate to have a home, which I was, and mine wasn't in the disaster area, however, my house was all shook up, things all over the place, but that didn't matter. We had company for 2 or 3 weeks, sleeping all over the house, and we cooked on a little kerosene stove, and no heat, no water, no bathroom, but we made it.
Imagine the downtown area was a real disaster at that time.
It was a disaster. It was, it was terrible. I just can't describe how it was. You'd almost have to get the history books that do have all the pictures of the earthquake and the devastation that happened afterwards. Just words just don't hardly explain what happened. And it was a while before we got organized. We were the only store in town, and we didn't get open up till a couple of days. And then we got us back online again. And crafts people, thank God for them, they come over and helped us for 3, 4, or 5 days until they could get back open. And they operated out of boxes until we could all, you know, eventually get together. And then Urban Renewal come in, which all took a little time, you know. And then the building, it started being rebuilt. But in the meantime, all this devastation, all these boats, all these cars, everything had to be hauled out of the way, which took time. So we were in a disaster area for quite some time.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Been a lot of changes at City Market over the years.
Oh, I should say so. I started to work for the City Market in the 1950s in a small store downtown. And then in 1964, we moved to the location we're in now. My boss worked over there 7 years in part-time building that store. And then we were running out of room downtown at the little store. So he said, well, we have to have a supermarket. So he built us one over there. And I always thought it was quite nice. And we just got going good. Got in December the 14th, 1964. And then, of course, we had the earthquake in 1965. So we were just getting used to our building. And it was a disaster, but it shook the building quite bad. We had the underpinning was like concrete, you know, bent like that. It was something else, but the building as a whole was all right. It was just merchandise was strewn all over the place. But thank heavens we had a lot of help to get it all cleaned up and get back so we could serve the people. And we did.
Did the airport and everything when you got here, was it in the same location, the landing field and everything?
Yes. It was, oh yes, it was here, because we had one airline coming in here, but we did not fly too much because it was too expensive. Everybody took boats, you know. We went out, festivals come in, the Lacano and Genova used to come in here, like once a month. We would get freight like once a month. Can you imagine getting freight once a month on a boat?
Mm.
And the milk, like the milk and the meat, was frozen. But you can't. But we survived. Didn't hurt us none. Everybody learned a lot. And then suddenly, in fact, my boss, Elaine Banks, was the first one that decided to order stuff by air. And we then started ordering stuff by air. Then that was when the airlines were coming in on a regular basis.
What year would that have been?
I don't remember. In fact, we were the first one to self-service. The first store, City Market was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and on a small scale, but we were first self, even ahead of a Kraft down the street, they went self-service. We were.
When did the mall area come into effect downtown? Was that?
Well, that was when it was rebuilding the town, and it was decided, you know, when everybody was like Normans, like Breckens, all decided then that they would have a mall. That's when it was built. So it was probably in the 60s, so it had to have been. 66, I would think, 66 or 67.
There wasn't too many places to shop early.
No.
Early on here, was
there? No, Kraft. Because they got back, in, and everything was pushed to hurry for them to get going because they were the biggest store. And the one down the street, let me see, Dunley and Atchison, theirs got completely wiped out. Their buildings were floating up and down the channel.
Mm.
So there was no help there. So it was Kraft for ladies' ready to wear, men's department, and all that sort of thing.
What, you said that the downtown area had quite a few changes and there was very few people, very few places to shop. What did, you just made things, or did you use a lot of catalog orders?
Oh, everybody did that anyway, but it wasn't too awfully long before it wasn't too many hardships. No, it really wasn't.
Did you see a lot of changes after the war was over?
Oh, yes.
A lot of people move out and...
A lot of people left because they were working on the base and their husbands were in the service. Like when I came up here, I was here 3 months, my husband got in the service. So they were going to ship me back because I was dependent, and he said no, that I was self-sufficient, and that no, you know, so no, they let me stay because I had a job.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I had to have a job to get to Alaska. I was going to come up and work in a cafe. The poor thing burnt down before I got here. The Brown Bear Cafe burnt down. Oh, I tell you, a Kodiak, in fact, has a lot of history about it. And it would take hours to try and remember all the things that have happened around here. You know, this takes too long, and then you get talking on something, you get rambling on something else. But I loved it, always have. I could have moved back home after I lost my husband 4 years ago. My folks all called, well, when are you coming home? And I am at home, so. I like Kodiak, always have. Because I've been here 49 years, so it is my home.
It would be.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a lot of changes in the fishing?
Oh, yeah. We used to be the King Crab Festival, King Crab Capital of the world. Of course, you know what happened to King Crab. That just went, I don't know, overfished or whatever happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. But we had, I think we were number one. I know, I don't have to think. I know we were number one in the fishing industry in the United States. But now I'm afraid we're number two. Like, and Alaska probably is ahead of us now. I don't know if we're getting overfished. I don't know what the problem is. But this is a fishing town. And the town depends on fishing around here. It's, these all fishing people mainly, and everything stems from fishing here. And just, it relates to fishing.
Your parents came from Germany?
Grandparents did. My parents were born here, but my great-grandparents come from somewhere in Germany. And my grandparents come from Illinois, state of Illinois, when they were brought over when they were very young. And then my grandfather migrated to Missouri. They were homesteading, and he homesteaded 360 acres, which is still in the Miller name right to this day. And in fact, I have a cousin who still has the property out. Most all of old folks are gone, of course. But I think it's really nice. I like it.
Yeah, there really was never any major fires or anything here, just a tsunami. Seems like housing has been quite a change in housing here over the years.
Well, we've had lots of fires here.
Have you?
Oh, yes. The City Market burned one time.
Oh, really?
In the downtown. Mm-hmm. We had a faulty heater, and it was during cold, I think. This was so long ago. And the wind somehow whipped it up, and it just got, probably was oil soaked around the heater, you know, those old buildings. In fact, it was right next to one we was talking about a while ago. What's his name?
Oh, okay. Carl?
It was right next to that. Yeah, that's where, Pyoman. It was right next to his building.
Oh.
And it caught fire and burned, and so that was rebuilt. We had to start all over and rebuild again. And the City Market has quite a history. We lost out in the fire, and then along come we had the Alaska Steam went on strike. The Hogs didn't get groceries up there unless you blew them up.
Oh, really?
So the City Market was privately owned. It was very hard for them, so of course they went in debt, you know. And we was never a thorn in DNA or Kraft's flesh, but they had their own following, and they had a nice little store. They had big enough, they decided they wanted to invest more and move on to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
They did. And they was there quite a few years, and he, of course, died. And she never could handle it, and I took care of it. I ran their store for 10 years myself, and it was kind of hard to do, but I handled it.
Mm.
Not as well, I'm sure, as it could have been handled, but she wouldn't hire anybody. So, we finally persuaded her that I wasn't getting any younger, and that she better, if she was going to come take care of it herself and her husband, she'd be married. Her husband didn't want to have any part of it. He didn't like Alaska. And that we finally said, you better sell it now. What are you going to do? Of course, going to leave. Well, I wouldn't, you know.
Right.
And she finally found, ran across this, the people that bought it. And he was Mormon, which he was Mormon, you know. And they got a hold of Lee Fillmore. And then when he come in, of course, well, this store's not big enough. We've got to make a supermarket. We've got to be a little competition around here for crafts.
Right.
So that's where it went.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
And then I, when it sold out, I told him, I said, well, we're going to leave. And so I was gone 11 months. We'll come back over here for a visit. He said, when are you coming back to work? And I said, well, I'll think about that. So then my husband said, well, you might as well move back over here. Just me going to Anchorage every weekend, eating up everything he made, you know, come see me and see if I was getting along okay. And that's when we decided to move back. We did.
Yeah.
It was a happy move.
Yeah.
I swear you could probably get $1 million for that old ironing machine.
Where was the building located?
Where the ferry building is now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That used to be, there used to be a big cannery down there.
Uh-huh.
And then at the Erskine, well, it was called another name, and then the W.J. Erskine Company, which Erskine, you know, is a very old established name around here. And in fact, young Wilson Erskine was in town here the other day. I got to meet him and shake his hand. I'd always wanted to meet him.
And you were, that was the last commercial?
That was the last commercial. Then they sold to W.J. Erskine Company. And I don't recall how long he had it. I worked for him for 4 years in the grocery department and then in the ladies' ready-to-wear. I worked there first, and they transferred me to groceries. And then when I decided to leave, my husband and I had leased 16 acres over on the Fog Lake Island, and we had a summer camp over there, which was hunting and fishing. So I cooked for 40, 30 or 40 people at a time. Now I can't even cook.
Wow. That had to be interesting.
Oh, that was very, and it was right on a beautiful lake over there. Anyway, when they sold, DNA, Dolly and Atchison bought it. And so I worked for them for several years. And then when I finally quit, what City Market had been after me, Glenn Banks, and I said, well, if I ever quit DNA, I'll come to work for you.
Yeah.
Little did I know I'd worked for them for 25 years before they sold out. There's another little story there. I worked for him when I first come up here because the place where I was going to work burned down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, T.T. Jackson and Glenn Banks had a little, very, very small place that sold foot-long hot dogs and hamburgers and stuff. I worked for him for a year. So I've always thought, isn't that strange here? Quite a number of years later, I went to work for him and worked for him 25 years.
Wow.
Very interesting people.
Sounds like.
It was really nice. I liked it.